Simonetti.
Morning, good morning. John Simonetti on behalf of the appellant. We come before you today asking you to find that the decision of the trial court dismissing this case for want of prosecution, but more importantly, refusing to grant the appellant's Rule 60B1 motion was an abuse of discretion that no reasonable person should agree with. It's an abuse of discretion because the district court refused to find excusable neglect. Excusable neglect exists in this case. What happened here? This case, when you take a look at the crux of the situation, was dismissed initially for want of prosecution by the district court because the appellants failed to file a status report. District court reviewed the file, found that there was not significant activity, which I'm not disputing before you, that the appellant counsel was ordered to file a status report within 30 days. That's taking him to October 27, 2000. 30 days later, the district court dismissed the case for want of prosecution. In ruling on a 60B motion and reviewing it, I think you need to review the underlying dismissal, even though narrowly. A motion was filed to vacate the dismissal for want of prosecution by the appellant's former counsel, stating that they did not receive a copy of the minute order. The minute order requiring the appellants to file a status report was issued sua sponte. It was not issued in the courtroom. There's no evidence that they received it.
The other side received it.
Your Honor, I don't dispute that.
There's a presumption that it was put in the mail addressed to your former law firm.
I don't dispute that either. What I do argue is that, is it not possible, we're all practitioners, that this piece of mail was not received by the appellant's former attorney? Is it not possible? That possibility exists, even though there is a presumption.
It's possible, but in the big picture here, there's a number of things that were not done.
Judge, I can address that. Anything's possible. You know, we're all smart enough that anything's possible and impossible. But in this case, given the nature of the minute order, I think it's more prudent to consider when you look at the totality of the circumstances that if appellant's former counsel received that minute order, that he would review it and he would recognize the severity of not filing a status report. Given this case was an auto accident and given the activity that took place, it wouldn't take him too long to docket it and to file a status report. And that status report, as we learned after the fact, would indicate that he was involved in attempting to relieve the court, hopefully, of this case by alternative dispute resolution.
Although that's somewhat in dispute as well, isn't it?
Somewhat in dispute, Your Honor. I don't think that the appellees have denied that those conversations took place. I think I'm entitled to the benefit of the doubt here. Justice, when you go back to the totality of these circumstances, when we look at everything, the only other omission that I see in the whole history of this case is that the defendants filed some written discovery consisting of interrogatories and a production request. They also filed a deposition notice setting a deposition, I believe, for in July of 1999. Defendants, the appellees, did nothing in connection with that discovery. You file it, and that's where their activity stopped also. They don't have an obligation to prosecute the case, but the fact that no order was sought, no compliance was requested in connection with that discovery, cuts both ways. Judge, the bottom line is when you take a look at Pioneer, and you take a look at some of the other decisions rendered by this circuit, the transgression here does not rise to the level that merits the harshest sanction possible.
Well, you agree if that notice had been received and ignored, that would justify in and of itself a dismissal.
Judge, if you're talking about ignored, where counsel says, you know, forget about it, the heck with it, I certainly would. If you're talking about an intentional desire not to comply with a court order, Sure, there should be ramifications.
Well, there was also an answer filed with a counterclaim and no reply to that counterclaim.
I think the counterclaim was filed. There was no answer. I can only tell Your Honor that the defendants did not move for default as I would if that had happened to me. There's no activity. The counterclaim is here. What the court should have done, and perhaps that's not for me to suggest.
Well, you've shown neglect, but you haven't shown any excuse except this business about not receiving the order to file a status report. Also, you didn't appeal either. So you're here on your 60B.
Judge, that's
correct.
You're
way behind the eight ball here. No, why wasn't an appeal filed?
Your Honor, I was not the former counsel for the appellant.
If the former counsel dropped the ball, then the client has a remedy against the lawyer.
Your Honor,
not against the defendant.
Your Honor, the client does have a remedy
defendant
against the lawyer.
The defendant is innocent.
The defendant is innocent, but the prejudice...
Does the plaintiff pursue his remedy against the lawyers?
Your Honor, I don't believe that...
Lawyers who pretend they don't receive mail and so on?
Your Honor, if you take that type of position... I don't agree with it, that the lawyer received the piece of mail and comes before the United States District Court, Judge Norland tells him, I didn't receive it and doesn't mean it and it's not true. I take it on face value. It's
why
true.
Do,
absent
you,
some
why
other,
do you take it on face
because
value?
Because absent some other bad faith evidence in the courtroom by the...
Well, there's plenty of evidence that these lawyers did not take this case seriously.
Your Honor, there is... one item, and that is the discovery. If you file a counterclaim against a litigant and the person who files that counterclaim doesn't seek a default, that's not the plaintiff's problem.
But then the plaintiff didn't even file an appeal from Judge Norville's order dismissing the case. So let's forget all the prior history. I mean, what does that indicate about counsel?
Your Honor, I'm not here to...
I'm just in line
with the argument. I understand. I just think that you need to review the underlying dismissal, at least in a context of determining was an abuse of discretion. There's nothing flagrant about your conduct. Something happened
but
here.
The test is not flagrancy.
I understand that, Your Honor. I'm talking
no,
about...
No, you don't understand it because somehow you think that unless it's flagrant, deliberate misconduct, it's an abuse of discretion for the judge to dismiss the suit for failure to prosecute.
Under Pioneer, one of the factors is bad faith. I don't think bad faith, flagrant conduct, is that much different. One of the factors is bad faith. It's not the only factor.
Yes.
It's not the only factor. The other factors do not appear to have been considered at all. If this court was to consider them, they should not reach that decision that the district court did because it's unreasonable.
Then you had a ground for appeal.
I have a direct appeal of the 60B1.
Yeah, but you're way behind the eight ball once you wait to file a 60B. It's just another example of dilatory tactics.
Does the court have any further questions at this time?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Patton Gentert?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Nancy Patton Genter. I represent the defendant, appellee John P. Sawyer, in this case.
Speak up, please.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Your Honors are correct in saying that this appeal is limited to the court's denial of the plaintiff's motion to reconsider the dismissal for failure to prosecute. It's a much narrower review than a direct appeal on the dismissal. It's well settled, Your Honors, that Rule 60B relief is an extraordinary remedy and it should be granted only on exceptional circumstances. The court's decision under Rule 60B is discretion piled upon discretion. Therefore, this court's review is under a highly deferential standard and the district court's decision should not be reversed unless you find there was an abuse of discretion. We would submit that there was no abuse of discretion in this case, Your Honor. The court's comprehensive order denying the plaintiff's motion to reconsider makes clear it thoroughly considered the plaintiff's arguments, set forth in its motion to reconsider. It's clear that the district court did not deny the plaintiff's Rule 60B motion solely for the failure to file the status report as ordered, but in a context of facts that reflected a lack of intent to prosecute this case. Your Honor, the record is clear that the plaintiff did not prosecute this case from its inception. Other than filing the lawsuit and a motion to withdraw, there's no other filings by the plaintiff. They admit that there was no answer to the counterclaim. There was no written or oral discovery done. The inactivity of the file is what brought the court's attention to the file in the first instance, Your Honor. Had they been prosecuting the case, had they been following the case, they could have filed a status report as ordered. 2 months after the warning was issued, still, it's indicative that they still weren't following their case, still weren't prosecuting the case. And when they finally discovered that the case had been dismissed, they filed a motion to reconsider. What was contained in motion to vacate, excuse me, Your Honors, what was contained in the motion to vacate further persuaded the district court that there was a lack of intent to prosecute this case. The court stated in its written opinion on the motion to vacate that there was no federal rules of civil procedure cited in support of the motion. They didn't comply with local rules on filing and presentment of the motion. They admitted that they still needed to complete written and oral discovery in this two-year-old case, and there was no apparent review of the file because there was a lot of misstatements of the court's order. Plaintiff then filed a Rule 60B motion based on inadvertence due to the plaintiff's attempt to engage in settlement negotiations.
Well, one of the things they argue is that they didn't get notice that the district court would dismiss the case if they didn't comply. In other words, you know, what's your response to that?
Your Honor, I believe that they still had a duty to follow their case. They do not dispute that the notices were sent. In fact, it's the first time on appeal that they're arguing that the failure to discover that order within the 60 days is excusable neglect. In their motion to reconsider, while they raise the issue that they didn't receive the order, they indicate that that failure to discover the order is inexcusable. A failure which current counsel does not excuse is the language in the motion to reconsider. So that argument that it was excusable neglect in failing to discover that order was not even presented to the district court below. So on one hand, they're saying, we know that we failed to discover the order, it's inexcusable, but now on appeal, they're saying that the district court's decision should be reversed. It was an abuse of discretion because they didn't find it was excusable neglect. They can't have it both ways, Your Honors. We would submit that in the plaintiff's motion to reconsider, they offered no extraordinary circumstances necessary to invoke Rule 60B relief. The only explanation that they offered the judge was inadvertence due to an attempt to settle the case. Negotiations of the case or settlement of the case does not relieve them of the duty to prosecute the case. They gave the district court no reasons or explanations for their failures in their motion to vacate. They conceded no written or oral discovery had been completed. They conceded the motion to vacate presented was not presented according to the rules. They conceded that the motion to vacate did not contain a complete history. This was all contained in the motion to reconsider. They didn't give the court any extraordinary circumstances upon which to grant relief under Rule 60B. That being said, Your Honors, plaintiff had a duty to follow its case. It had a duty to discover the order. Its failure to discover the order is just another reason to infer that the plaintiff lacked intent to prosecute this case. Accordingly, we would respectfully ask that you affirm the lower court's decision.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Patton. Mr. Simonetti, how much time do you have?
The appellant believes that we have an obligation to discover the existence of the minute order. that's unreasonable.
What about her point? She says you waived this in the district court.
No, I don't believe so. I'd have to look at the briefs. I think the motion and the motion for reconsideration address these issues, and in her brief, there was no waiver issue presented that I recollect. I don't take that position. Judge, the harshest sanction possible is not commensurate with the offenses here. We're talking about some discovery that wasn't answered. We're talking about the first and only order that was entered. There are no prior orders of sanction.
Some discovery that isn't answered, that doesn't strike me as quite as trivial an offense as you suggest. How do lawyers ignore their suit?
Judge, it's one thing to file it, and it may be another thing when there's an absence of an order complying that it be answered, where it should affect a dismissal where we're before this court. Absent the status report not having been filed, I don't think we'd be talking about this discovery. And maybe that begs the question, but I believe that the dismissal is bootstrapped and buttressed by this failure to answer discovery. It's not a poster child for the best case possible, but it's also not a case that merits the harshest sanction possible, and that is to dismiss the appellant's case when there's other sanctions available to the court to admonish the lawyer, to send him to a mentor, to tell him, you don't come back and practice before me before you follow the rules. Some other sanction is available. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Senator Eddie, thank you to both counsel.